Let's bring in TK here. Trista, TK, live from
New York City, baby.
Hey. New York City.
You are. No, I was about to ask a question, but that's a stupid question because the game's like about to come on. I was like, you going to game three? No, you're not.
Game five, though. I'm going to go to the one in Philly.
Definitely having a game five.
Definitely having a game five.
I think so. I think both division series go five in the NL. All four of them might go five.
What do you think about what's going on with AP in Las Vegas? Is that a dysfunctional situation that needs to get rectified?
Kind of. I don't understand why we've gotten to this situation. Like, how do you have players that are willing to put themselves out on the trade block if you don't get hired? Like Max Crosby. And then you do get hired. We've got the receiver doc come out. Clearly, Devontae isn't happy then. We know something's wrong then. Nothing happens. So we're like, well, maybe it was content, you know? No, nothing has changed. The quarterback situation is still terrible. You know, Aiden O'Connell is not the one. Gardner Minshew is not the one. And now you have a new head coach where we're not sure if it was vibes and like dead cat bounce culture, rah, rah. Is he like at best case, Dan Campbell, like best case, and everybody else around him has to be super smart. And he's just like the grit and grind, bite kneecaps kind of guy. But I think when it's like, oh, if guys don't want to be here, the thing that's different between Dan Campbell and AP is that there's almost like a insecurity about his place in the coaching hierarchy because he's taken this almost like disciplinarian approach with grown ass men, and that's with multimillionaires never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and what do you guys think?
I kind of feel the same way, and I like AP. I like the hire. I wanted them to do that when he was available. I said give him his shot, and the truth of the matter is it's a little different when you're the guy and when you're the interim guy. Like when you're the interim guy, you can be about vibes.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the head guy, there's decisions that you have to make and there's ways that you have to go about things. And I don't think AP's handled it the best, man. Obviously, I kind of laid out some of the things just a second ago, but you know, the whole, I saw guys making business decisions. I'm going to have to make some business decisions. I don't think that sat well in the locker room, mm-hmm. even if he was right. Like, I understand it, but saying that at the podium, like
you say that privately.
Yeah. Like that didn't sit well. And then they had the players only meeting and those guys were like, yeah, it got a little personal in there, you know, and it was contentious, but you know, I don't think that sat well. And then Devontae, and this is kind of the way the Devontae thing's been handled, you know, with the Instagram likes and, you know, and him not really addressing it publicly or what. It just seems like you said it perfectly, Dame. He's struggling to find his footing right now, and it's getting worse, it feels like.
Yeah, I don't know how to. Again, compounding mistake by making another mistake. Like they just keep making mistake on top of mistake, and I don't think firing Antonio Pierce like halfway through the year is the way to go. I think their biggest issue is they lack talent, specifically on the offensive end. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a backup quarterback. They don't have quarterback options. That's their fault. They don't have a run game. That's their fault. And they have Devontae Adams, and they wonder why he's upset. Now, maybe Devontae Adams is just a guy who's not happy. Maybe he's not going to be happy till he gets to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he's not going to be happy till he gets to Derek Carr. And maybe it's what Jason Jones always tells us, is it's you're not going to recover from Josh McDaniels in a year. They butchered this team up, and it's going to take time to fix it.
And it's not even Josh McDaniels that you're recovering from. It's John Gruden and Mike Mayock that you're recovering from, which was an absolute disaster. And then you bring in Josh McDaniels. What we have is institutional malfeasance and a rotting culture. And then you get a little bit of a rah-rah spark plug and you think it's love and you think it's real. And everything that we know about his background, AP's background, is that he's not ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
He just was put in the right place at the right time, and guys rallied around him because they were so used to toxic that his version of toxic, because I think what's happening is clearly like, that's a toxic thing. Like, well, I'm a business decision this, business decision that. Like, there's something there. Anyway, in the moment, whatever version of that he had was so much better than Josh McDaniels and John Gruden and Mike Mayock that it felt like a breath of fresh air. But then you realize, oh, this is still not it. And on top of that, our roster can't support even for a good coach. We don't have a good O-line. We don't have a good run game. We have Max Crosby in an okay defense. We don't have a quarterback. Like, you're never anywhere in a tough division where we have to face the Chiefs now and Harbaugh twice a year.
And I was hearing you say what you're saying, and I was going to ask the question before you said that, but it's almost clear right now, and it's still early. It's still 5-6 weeks into the season. But I was going to ask you guys, should they have even hired him in the first place?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Like, they're but at the same time, they're just in a bad position all around. I think they were fooled by what happened at the end of the year.
You know,
yes.
You know what? Also, you go back even more, dealing with the sins of before.
Right.
They had the same situation
right.
before and
That's
let
right.
the guy walk.
That's right. That's what
and
I mean.
Got Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
And now they're like, well, we don't can't fool me twice. They're gonna make the same mistake again.
Yeah.
And yeah, they should have been looking at them as separate situations.
And like, don't forget that Jim Harbaugh was interested in that coaching job. It wasn't just LA or nothing for him. That was an evaluation for him as well. I'm not going to say that he would have turned that franchise around overnight, but you see that the Chargers had a lot of issues with their roster, and they made changes quickly. Now you got J.K. Dobbins looking really, really good. You get the Gus Bus, right? You have guys, you bring them over from Baltimore. Who knows what this team looks like and what roster decisions were made? Also, on top of that, I honestly, like, you see the way that the Chargers let Keenan Allen go. Like, maybe Devontae gets traded for a haul last offseason if Harbaugh is the head coach. I just don't think that allowing Max Crosby and his words to be the reason that you make that decision, because that's what it felt like, right? It felt like he was kind of putting the screws on a little bit, like, listen, I know I'm the guy on the defense. I'm one of the best pass rushers in the league. So if he goes, I go. And it's like, yeah, we'll see how you feel when we bring in Harbaugh. Like, are you still going to be singing that tune? Because you're under contract, my guy, and we have to do what's best for us.
You have any thoughts on Stephon Diggs before we get to the NBA? No, it's fine. I was just wondering. It's fine. We'll keep it moving.
I really fast. Let me. We'll do this in a roundabout way that won't get us fined. I interviewed Stephon Diggs 4 times.
I'm sorry.
No, the chat's going crazy.
I'm sorry.
I hadn't heard that one either. Too before that was crazy when she put that in the comments, in the caption, the watermelon joint. I said, oh.
You like that analogy. That's my own personal one. Anyway, let me go back. So I interviewed Stephon probably 4 or 5 times. Always very nice.
Like, I bet.
Always, yeah.
Were you wearing that shirt when you talked to Stephon Diggs?
This exact one? No.
Okay.
This exact one? No. Yeah, you can tell in those moments that he's a little too slick with it, you know, his paws. he's a little bit too, I'm going to wear my hair in a way that, like, shows you that I'm okay, like, just being me. And he's like, oh, yeah, you have really pretty eyes and blah, blah, blah. Where'd you get this bracelet, you know? Like, oh, I'm not dating anybody now. And that was right around the time that the Minnesota Vikings put out that locker room video, which I posted on Instagram in the Stephon Diggs news piece. I guess you could call it the news piece about Kim and Cardi B. But every single player in the locker room that was interviewed was asked, who would you not want to date your sister? Like, least like to date her. And every single person was like, Diggs, Diggs, Diggs. Absolutely effing not Diggs, definitely not Diggs. And I even asked him about that in the interview. He was like, see, I really get a bad rap and people don't know. And you almost get finessed and thinking, oh, you know, maybe he's just too slick. No, and then you got DJ Academics being like, oh yeah, word around our entertainment streets is that he's like the most active out of anybody. Not just entertainers, not just athletes, but like the whole like business at large. So when I saw that news story yesterday, I was like, of course that's true. Like, of course that's real.
So we talked about this a little bit on the other show, and I didn't like that Act did that. I'm choosing.
We will talk about this on the other show.
I'm choosing not to believe it. I will say this.
I'm choosing.
Well, maybe not 8 months. Maybe that's the part I'm choosing not to believe.
Why not? What's wrong?
For those unaware, there is a rumor that Stephon Diggs
had fornications.
Thank you. Yep. Go ahead.
With Cardi B because
while she was pregnant.
Offset was doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And so she decided I'm gonna do my own thing. Yep. And the person I'm gonna do my own thing with when I'm ready to give birth to his child is Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And so that's the rumor, which reminded me, by the way, and people in my comments don't remember this, but do you guys remember when LL Cool J put out his book and he talked about how much he loved getting it in with pregnant women? You don't remember that?
That's like I didn't read that thing. Excerpt.
It burned into my brain. So that's the first thing that I actually thought of. I was like, ooh, LL Cool J vibes.
Yeah, they 8 months is wild. If it happened, it happened. 8 months is wild for both of them. But the one thing I will say, and Dame knows.
But 7 months? What's the demarcation point?
When I can see the bump. When I can see the bump, all right, that's enough. Like, nah, you on the shelf. You on the shelf.
You're on the shelf.
With somebody else? Yes.
Well, yes. Yeah, with somebody else.
With your
boy, I had a lot of off air questions.
The person that helped produce the baby.
I got it.
Up until the last day, but somebody else, like, no.
We're there.
But here's what I would say about Ack. He didn't just pull the name out of nowhere. Like, that's a random person to be like, yeah, that's who Cardi was with. Like, I don't know if it's one person, two people, if it was commonly known. That's not a random person to just, it's pretty specific. And that's where that lends credence to it probably happening in some form or fashion.
And if Stephon Diggs is in your phone, Stephon Diggs is
in your phone. Yeah.
In your phone.
You're going to be all in your phone.
Phone. All up in the phone.
All right.
Every corner of the phone.
Oh, jeez.
That didn't disappoint. What's great
swiping
about...
Swiping left, swiping right, hitting the home button.
Hitting the home button. There isn't even a home button anymore. You can't even
hit... No, it's coming back. The home button's coming
Stop
back.
It.
Yeah, they're bringing it back.
There's a new button on the side. I don't know what it does, but now the home button is gone. All right, home button's coming back, I guess, for Stephon Diggs only. You guys make me so much.
I just want to say really fast before we transition, and I know this is your show, and you're
not really
running it and driving it, but like you guys really do bring out the best in me. Like you guys really set us up to cruise. So if I ever
were you having a bad day?
I've been having a phenomenal day.
Oh, okay.
Like the best day.
Okay, good. You looked cranky when this started, and then you said that, so now I don't know if something was wrong.
No, everything's good. No, I really do think you guys are just so great. I've had this awesome time with you guys.
Is that why you called me a brand hoe over the weekend?
That did happen.
She did do it privately.
How many logos does he need to show us? You know, like.
Well, that was the whole point of the video. It was that I had all of these brands on, and my partner for the weekend was wearing Amazon Basics.
That was a funny.
Which is a brand, I guess.
That was a
yin and
brand.
Yang. Yin and Yang.
That was the idea.
Off and white.
But you called me a brand hoe.
That's what that was. I was like, that's the first thing. He won't take this any kind of way other than he knows that he's hoeing out there for these rings.
All right. In any event.
Hey, I had a take yesterday, and Trista's here. I think Trista would be a good person to see what she thinks about this. Damien, I think you know where I'm going, but we didn't really talk about it. Jesse knows. I said yesterday, college football delivers more consistently than any organization, league, sport in the world. College football, this year they've been on steroids. This year's been crazy. But just traditionally, like college football every single week. Now they get the advantage of there's 100 teams, so you get more chances to have these great games and all this other stuff. But every single week, there's either a great game, an upset, combination of both. And this year, like I said, they've been at Balco Lab this year. Like, it's been crazy. And we've got one of the greatest Saturdays of all time on deck. Do you guys agree with that? That college football, there's nothing, no other league that delivers the way college football does.
That's such a great question. I don't know if I can disagree. I can't definitively agree, but I can't think of anything that wholeheartedly always delivers this way. I was just in Canada this last weekend, and Saturday was actually the spa day, and I was like, oh, this is a down week of college football. All these cupcake games. The best game is Red River or whatever. I forget what was going on. I forget what the
Miami
game was.
Cal, maybe.
Well, Miami Cal was the first time that game day had come to Cal, but there was like maybe one other game was okay. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm talking to a friend who's a Bama fan. And I was like, oh, aren't you glad that you have all these honeydew things to do when they're playing Vandy instead of when they're playing Georgia? And she was like, yeah, cute little nerdy Vandy, like sweet, sweet Vandy. And I came in from the spa, opened the locker, and I'm like, Vandy won that game? Are we serious? You're seeing Nick Saban quotes being like, the only cupcake game we have in the SEC is Vandy, said that 2 weeks ago, and now they lose to Vandy. So I can't say for sure yes, but I like the direction of the take.
And number one going down never gets old.
Never.
How many times never. Have we seen number one never. Go down? And it's great every time.
Hopefully we see number two go down this week.
Hopefully we see number three go down.
No.
Wait. Oh, no, you're right. Two. Yeah, two definitely two. Needs to go down.
Two's got to go down.
Oh, you guys.
Oregon plays Ohio
What do you guys
State
do? Do you quack?
That's not a duck. That's a gator.
No, they do the
gator,
whole
they do the whole thing.
What do the ducks do? Let's go.
Oh,
I hope they don't do that. I saw the Chiefs fans doing that last night. Like, seriously? All right, man. Whatever.
Well, we don't do the Florida State chant or anything, but it's the O for Oregon. We definitely do scream that. Yeah, they do that for sure. But yeah, I'm very excited about this college football.
Yeah, do that, because wouldn't that mean the other team too?
No, yeah, you guys just don't do anything. Yeah. You guys just go get tattoos. That's what you guys do.
We got the wave as well. We got the wave in the stadium. It's a lit stadium. I was supposed to go, actually. It's just too much. My Airbnb canceled on me. The standing room only tickets were insane price. So I'm going to watch it from the crib. But boy, because I think also I was scared of getting hurt, you know, scared of going all the way across the coast, back to hometown vibes, back on campus, all this excitement, and then Ryan Day curb stomps us in our first year in the Big Ten. And I was like, you know, I'm not ready for that level of pain yet. I think if that happens, I at least can say, you know, like SpongeBob, I'm going to call it a night.
Like SpongeBob.
Dubs and Kings tomorrow night.
Dubs.
Mm.
The thing that I thought was so funny, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this, is Mike Dunleavy Jr. essentially saying they've punted on Steph's career. Just essentially, we are done.
Well, break that down. What did he say?
He basically said at Media Day, you know, sometimes you can incrementally get better, but you don't do it because it costs too much to do. And so Kelly Oubre really scarred them completely, right? That was a, we're going to go and get a difference maker, bucket getter, try to figure out on the margins a way to get somebody to help Steph. And then that was just like an epic disaster. It costed a lot of money. The luxury tax was out of control and they weren't any better. So they're just kind of like, we're not going to make any moves. We're going to operate in the margins, but without any tax implications or without having to trade any of our assets, which is totally fair. They kind of know they're screwed, but he's now admitting it in front of the world. Like, sorry, Steph, we're just not contending. Mm. Couldn't be me.
Do you think that's a team that, because I think they'll get in a play-in. Do you think they could possibly miss the play-in?
Mm.
The Warriors?
I think they're better than they were last year. I think they're a play-in team. I just don't think they're anything more than that, right? Like,
why are they better than last year? I feel like that line is getting used a lot, and I'm.
Give me the roster because I can't do it on my phone.
You got this year. You have DeAnthony Melton. You got Buddy Hield.
Yes, okay. Yes, really quick. We'll go line by line because I'm not going to remember. DeAnthony Melton, when healthy, is like very impactful. Mm. The question is whether his back is fully healthy, but he's a guy who is a main contributor for Memphis in a lot of different ways. He can play a bunch of different positions on the floor. Mm-hmm. He can defend. He can score a little bit. He can rebound. He's just a versatile, tough, gritty guy that they just didn't have a whole lot of depth to guys that they could go to. Moving forward, who?
Hey, you got Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield.
Future all-star Buddy Hield.
Will need to stay in his dang lane, right? Like, he'll need to do Indiana Buddy Hield stuff. But he definitely helps with spacing, and he's a little bit more mobile than Clay. And Clay couldn't defend a cone last year either. So you're basically saying we need to replace Clay with somebody cheaper.
Draymond's still on the team or no?
He's still there.
Still, according to him, still there.
Still a Hall of Famer.
Well, he's just a successful black man. That's all he is.
He's in America. He's a successful black man in America.
They got Kyle Anderson this year, too.
Oh, yeah, and Slomo's good, too. Another former Grizzly.
He's done.
He's done?
He's done.
He's completely done?
He couldn't even play in the playoffs. They were trying to win a championship, and he couldn't even play.
That's how deep Minnesota was. He can get you 15 minutes a night.
Yeah.
He's better than, like, when they had, I forget that dude's name that was, like, anyway. They had some randoms that they were given minutes to last year.
Was Lamb last year or was that the year before? Who was the guy? Lamb.
Jeremy
Lamb? Yeah.
No.
Our Lamb?
No, not our Lamb.
No.
It was another Lamb that I can't remember his name. But
yeah. They had some little foreign dudes running around, like Facundo Campazzo kind of vibes.
Campazzo. Jerome. Ty Jerome a couple years ago was out there.
Yeah. They've had like issues with dudes coming off the bench that they were giving minutes to that could not contribute. These at least are legit NBA players. They're not great, but they're not going to get great because they're paying Steph the amount of money that they're paying. They're paying Draymond the amount they're paying. Then they have to figure out a way to pay Kuminga and Moody at some point. So they're and obviously Andrew Wiggins is getting paid a ton of money too.
Well, let's get to what's really important, and that's the Kings.
That's right.
Of course.
Kings 74 wins, 75. or 70, like for being conservative. De'Aaron and DeMar won two in Clutch Player of the Year award.
For the third year in a row, and I don't know what the odds are. It's probably 8-1 or something. For the third year in a row, Kings to win the division.
There we go.
I think DeMar's going to win you a ton of games.
Mm.
DeMar, Keegan's going to have pressure off him. I know that, you know.
You think he performs better because of that? Because we spent all last season talking about Keegan, like, what's next, doing that next thing. Does the fact that that's not a conversation at all this year help him?
Huge. I mean, you're talking about a guy who is one of the most impactful clutch players in the NBA for three straight years in DeMar. And you've got Foxy, who's also Mr. Clutch. Mm-hmm. So what does Keegan need to be? He doesn't need to operate from that thought process. There's no pressure on him to do that. We just need some rebounding like, just do you. Like, just operate within the flow of the offense. And when it's time for us to need a bucket, we're not going to need to come to you. Yeah. And you'll already be in rhythm because we're going to get you a more open look. So I'm fascinated to see how this helps Domas as well. Like, he's maybe the third, fourth option now. So I think this changes kind of everything. Maybe it even takes, I was just about to say, maybe this takes pressure off of Herter as well. Like, we don't need Herter to almost do anything. Mm. Like just be the version of Herter we got when we first, you know, picked you up.
You said the third or fourth option. You're talking about Keegan.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with all that. I think I've been saying it all summer. I think their offense in the regular season, I mean, I think it'll translate to the postseason too, but just the regular season, travel, not as much, you know, prep and all this other stuff. I think they're going to be potent offensively because they got so many weapons. They got so many things that you've got to deal with. And if you're not in a series type situation where you're locked in on that team for game after game, and you were just in Phoenix the other night, now you got to get ready for Sacramento. I think they'll have too much a lot of the times for people to deal with.
Well, and think about this. Everybody has, pretty much every team in the West has some, except for OKC, has some growing pains that we could expect, right? Like, OKC, I think that they're going to be the best team in the West, hands down, right? You add Ihart, that's perfect. You add Alex Caruso, that's perfect. Alex Caruso is one of the most impactful perimeter defenders in the league, maybe even number one when you look at, like, plus-minus. Plus, he can shoot 40% from three. That's a guy that you have come in, step in to replace Josh Giddey, who was really not playing many minutes in the postseason. And then he comes in. That's a nightmare roster. Outside of them, you can say there's big question marks about every single team in the West. Like, how is Minnesota going to integrate Julius Randle, who needs the ball in his hands? He needs, like, you know what it is. Like, you guys know. He's like one of those guys who needs to dribble the ball a million times to get in rhythm, to get his touches, and to get his points. So, like, he's going to hold on the ball, like, 15, 16, 17 seconds, which is going to drive that team crazy. How is that going to affect spacing? Where does Dante fall in? So I think that how that operates in terms of, like, just regular season wins, like, there's going to be probably some growing pains there, just like it was 2 years ago for Minnesota when they acquired Rudy Gobert. You've got Memphis with injury issues. You've got Denver trying to figure out how these young kids are going to come in. The Clippers are done. They are screwed. The Lakers are worse than they were last year, and they weren't that good last year. Like, Golden State, we've got real questions about how those guys are going to get integrated. We're just flowing past the break, aren't we?
No, your internet wants this conversation to end.
Well, I think it might be ours. Does it really?
Is it ours?
Yeah, because you freeze on my screen. Obviously, you're not. Like, on my screen, I might be freezing too, but you
No, you're moving. Are we looking bad in there?
It was a little tough over here.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's
sorry.
No, you didn't blow past the break at all. We're actually right at the break, so you killed it. You took us, like, literally right to it. That's fire. TK, don't miss. What are you doing in NY tonight?
I'm going to get some dinner with Jake Fisher and one of his friends. We're going to go to some, like, little Chinese restaurant in Chelsea. I'm going to walk around a bit. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then tomorrow's the Women in Media event thing.
There you go. For the company you don't work for anymore. That's tremendous.
You know what's so funny? It's like, can we spill a little tea? And I love them. You know, I love Odyssey. I have videos that I do. Love those in charge. Got a text from our head man in charge. He's like, hey, so proud, so honored. You and Maggie Gray. It's going to be phenomenal. We got you guys a table. Amazing. You guys want guests to come show out? Cool, just let us know who they are. Also, none of us in charge are going to be able to go because there's another radio event going on at the same time, like, that's goodness, like, better and more important than yours. So, like, have a great time, chicken or fish.
Well, congratulations to our woman of the year.
That's right,
year.
That's right.
TK, we appreciate you as always. We'll come back with more Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320. Your boy is progressively getting worse, man. I'm going to get through this day.
Hey, man, like I said, you get out of here after this if you need to.
Are you sick finally for the first time in, what, 5 years?
So the test said no. The test said no because I don't think she'll care if I say it. Like, Katie tested positive. Katie was sick the whole weekend. She just There was literally nothing we could do at this point. It was Sunday morning. She woke up really sick. Mm-hmm. She was like, I'm really sorry. Like, we were looking at, like, changing flights. I was like, I don't think we can. She's like, okay, we'll get through it. And so we were, you know, essentially inseparable for a day and a half. So it was kind of like, look, whatever happens, happens. We just have to get through. Let's just get through Monday. Mm-hmm. And or get through. Yeah, Monday. That's the day we recorded. Let's just get through Monday. And so about sometime yesterday afternoon, I was like, oh, all right. Like, it's cool. It's not bad. This morning, Complex called. Obviously, he's worried. I was like, no, man, I think I'm fine. You know, I don't want to leave all of this to Casey anyways. Like, I'm fine. And then this show started, and it was like, you know, I don't think that I am. I, in fact, do not think that I am.
I mean, look, man, you gotta go right now. You got to go right now.
No, man, we're good. Maybe if nothing else, I'll get us to Jason, and I'll come up with a game plan. I don't feel that bad. I realize I'm starting to sound like crap, which is kind of worrying.
Don't go anywhere, actually. No, if you're going to go, like, if you're going to die, do it on the stream.
Oh, no. So if I felt like death, I wouldn't leave. If I felt like death, I would do that for you. I would die. Yeah, I would die.
You don't even got to talk, bro. We'll just do D-Lo death camp.
I almost died yesterday.
That's fact. Hey, Casey, I'm trying to talk Kings with James or whatever, and Casey's in the corner. And I'm trying not to pay attention. I'm like, yeah, James, and you're
turn the mic off and lean over. And after the fourth time that happens, Jesse's like, are you okay?
What happened? You have particles again? Well, did particles get you?
The thing about it was, so I didn't drink my water yesterday because
it's hard. It's a little more difficult.
I'm not going to do that then. So I had like a Coke, and you know, it was what did I have? Maybe some. I had M&M's, and it was little particles or whatever. And we're in the middle of the segment, so I couldn't really just like. And like get it, so
Casey was getting like two coughs in at a time.
Then after the fourth time of that, she's like, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Do you need?"
Hey, look, pal, what are you doing over here?
Well, the point is like now, I'm trying to. Casey's good. It's like, all right, I can't ignore it at this point. Like now, I have to ask.
Yeah, there comes a certain point where you can like cutting one microphone off isn't going to do enough.
And James was in studio, so both.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
So yeah, man. But nah, if you need to, man, you gotta do what you gotta do, big dog.
Yeah, if it was death, I would stay here and die. But we'll get through the next little stretch because you got Jason Jones to help close this thing out. And I know one, we need to talk Kings basketball, but two, I know you've been waiting all day to talk about playoffs going on right now.
Yeah, man.
And I ain't talking about Chase's being eliminated.
Well, we didn't talk about that yesterday.
You had a bad weekend.
I didn't.
Let me ask you something.
The writing was on the wall.
It was, but let me ask you something. Did you see Stewie and her family?
I didn't. I saw her post game, and she kind of mentioned it, and then like somebody explained in a tweet like what she was talking about, but I didn't see her.
Like the emotional reaction everyone had. Mm. Do you think my theory has any level of credence after seeing that? That getting past the Aces was such a big hurdle for them that they could get got by one of these two teams left, the Sun or the Lynx.
It definitely has credence for sure. With all due respect to the Sun and the Lynx, I just don't think they're good.
No, I don't think they are either.
Not in the series.
I think the Lynx could get them. I really do. Like, I wouldn't pick them, and I certainly wouldn't bet your money on them.
My money again?
But never mind. But I think the Lynx are good enough to steal a series from them.
That's the thing when we talk about the series. By the way, everybody, so based on how you guys go about things, Vanderbilt's better than Alabama, right?
That's correct.
We agree.
Yeah, sure. Big, what's his name, Danny Pavia guy?
He's a wild boy. But I don't think either one of those two teams can win three times.
I understand.
Like what you're saying makes perfect sense. I just don't know if either one of those two teams, like they're good, I don't think they're on the level of the Liberty to win three times. I'd be pretty shocked.
It feels like the Liberty have been the best team in the league all year, no question. But man, the Lynx and Sun were both really good.
No, they're a good
team.
But
the Lynx are the one that I keep looking at. Obviously, they got to get through game five tonight. But the Lynx were the team I'm looking at. Like, man, if someone was going to steal the title from one of those other two, it could be them.
They'll be around next year, too.
Yeah.
They'll be around next year. Who do you think wins the game tonight?
Well, I'm going to pick the Lynx. I'm going to pick the Lynx.
I think so, too. I think the Lynx get back to the finals.
No Maya, no Rebecca, no Simone, none of those original cast of characters that won all those titles however many years ago.
Did you see the Liberty's Twitter post when they put the Timberlands at center court on the Aces logo?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jackass.
Yeah, that was good work. That was good work right there.
Jackasses. But yeah, no, they're the best team, man. They're the best team, and they deserve it. Aces, we talked about this a little bit with the 49ers yesterday too, and could just be one of those things where the analogy they always say, they try to start the key and it just won't, or start the car and it just won't turn over. It just won't turn over, and it seems like for the Aces.
It was so weird.
They tried to just start it, and it just wouldn't turn over.
It was such a weird season for them. Mm-hmm. They never – I know we say this a lot with the Kings last year. They never got their footing.
Right.
They just absolutely could not find themselves. And every time, you know, Chelsea comes back and they win a stretch of games, and it's like, okay. I mean, I think they won like 7 of 8 the second Chelsea stepped on the floor or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here they go. All right, they back. They was missing that piece. Here we go. Right. And then they didn't. And then they'd, you know, have a stretch where they win 5 of 6. And that just became the story of their season, where they'd win games that would make you think like, okay, the championship form is back. Mm-hmm. And then that'd be it.
Yeah.
They'd fall back.
And now, you know, they kind of regroup. It's always interesting trying to figure out like what happens to these WNBA teams, because I don't have a grasp on contracts there. Like, I don't know the length. I don't know how free agent go. Does that change with this new media rights deal? Like, it becomes a little bit more like an NBA thing. Like, I can go to Basketball Reference, and Asia's probably a bad example because she's the best player. But, you know, Alicia Clark, I can see she's got a 3-year deal, because it feels like a bunch of 1-year deals in the WNBA sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of that is too, it'll probably change because salary cap will change. A lot of that is like, you know, part of the reason you'd see like draft picks being tough to stay in the league, you find a veteran and sign them for nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I actually, with all of this change, I don't even know what I don't know what these new like contract top numbers are and how these deals are done.
Yeah. Ramsey in the chat, Ramsey would know. He says Kelsey Plum's an unrestricted free agent. So off the top of my head, that might be the biggest.
I mean, maybe they pop up kind of crazy. Like Stewie just left as a free agent. Mm-hmm. Like it's a little bit different.
And. I don't know what Chelsea's situation is, but if she's a free agent too, maybe that's Lacob's first big signing.
Sure, yeah.
Kelsey or Chelsea.
Yeah, Kelsey would be massive. I was trying to lead you into a playoff conversation that wasn't the playoff conversation we had. We'll talk baseball, and we'll talk Sacramento Kings, who return to the Golden 1 Center tomorrow night. That's ahead here is Dealing with Casey. Continue. Plus, Jason Jones coming up in about 30 minutes. On Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
WWE's own.
Well, Sexy Red.
Shout out Sexy Red. So we definitely going to talk about that, Bad Blood, everything with Jason Jones coming up at 320. But MLB playoffs going on right now. They are lit. I talked about, waxed poetically about college football. Yesterday and today, Major League Baseball playoffs are up there. I love the Major League Baseball playoffs. This year is not disappointing. All 4 series tied at 1 right now. The American League doesn't have the cachet of like Tigers Indians doesn't like move the needle, but that's a great series. Tigers had a dramatic 9th inning home run last night to win And then you got the Yankees and Royals. It's the Yankees, so like that's already prime time. They're tied at one. But the National League is going crazy right now. National League going crazy. Phillies and Mets are playing right now as we speak. Mets are up 1-0 in the third inning.
What are we watching this for? Why is this game on right now?
Well, because
I just didn't want to watch the Kraken.
Yeah, no, I don't know why that game is on right now. But you got to have your West Coast game, Dodgers and Padres later on. So you got to put this one on a little earlier.
How are you getting the remote to work?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We didn't watch TV yesterday, bro. Jesse came in and saved the day.
Yeah, I had to cast it or whatever.
Yeah, he came in and saved the day, but. It was just a black screen.
So
black screen.
Like I literally just plug it in and then unplug it. God damn it.
That right there is the sound of the remote not working.
There.
There we go.
There, come on. All right, now we got baseball.
Yeah, we in here. But yeah, the Mets are up 1-0 right now in the third inning. That series tied in 1. I mean, we talking New York and Philly. We talking Mets, Phillies. Like, I'm not going to say it is exactly like this because I think it's one of, you know, what I'm about to say is one of the best rivalries in all the sports. But we saw what it was like when Giants-Dodgers were playing in the postseason. This is close. This is close. Phillies-Mets is close.
Yeah.
Like, this is they don't like each other at all. So that's great. But then the other one where the teams don't like each other are the Padres and the Dodgers, series tied at 1, one of the great rivalries in the game today. And I'll ask you, are you familiar with what's going on with this series and Dave Roberts and Manny Machado and all this other stuff? Are you up to date?
I'm not.
Okay, this is even great because I'm not going to lead through. I'm just going to show you all this stuff. So in game 2, the pitcher for the Dodgers strikes out Machado and tells him, get the F out of here, sit the F down or whatever. And Machado's like, don't talk to me like that or whatever. And it was like, it kind of came out of nowhere to a certain degree. And we're like, okay. So then Dave Roberts comes out yesterday or something like that, and it comes out that Manny Machado, he says he threw the ball at him. I'm going to play Dave Roberts. I'm going to let you hear what he's got to say.
Okay.
And this is Dave Roberts explaining like what the issue was.
Okay.
Be what sparked the jawing between Flaherty and Machado. Did it almost hit you? Did you know that?
So
it came
I didn't
in
know. I didn't notice it at the time. I really didn't. I didn't notice it. I did see the video, and it was unsettling. Obviously, I have a relationship with Manny from years past. There was intent behind it. It didn't almost hit me because there was a net. And that was very bothersome. If it was intended at me, I'd be very, it's pretty disrespectful. So I don't know his intent. I don't want to speak for him, but I did see the video and the ball was directed at me with something behind it. So, but I don't know what led to that. I didn't see it in real time, but I did see the video.
So that's Dave Roberts. That's what he said. So comes out that the video comes out. So here, I'll take this off the screen while I find it. But the video came out of what happened.
I'd have to imagine it's like a line drive into the dugout where he's talking about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine. Man, he just fired the thing in there.
Unsettling and all this other stuff. So here's Manny Machado, because this is a brutal film type stuff.
Very good.
After you know, they're warming up or whatever,
yep.
These guys routinely throw the balls off to the side so the ball boys can get them.
Yep.
And here's Manny Machado. So Dave Roberts says that was intentional, said it was malice.
Once again, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
I don't know.
Wait a minute. So look back at this. When Roberts
mute
sees
the sound.
It. Oh, my bad.
No, you good.
When Roberts sees it, he don't even know what happens. He just starts cursing at Machado. So here's the deal. Yeah. Machado throws it off to the side.
Yep.
Goes across, hits the net. Look at Dave Roberts right there.
Ha, 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 ha. This is ridiculous.
Can you imagine if the ground ball took a bad hop, you guys?
This is ridiculous.
So that was Dave Roberts talking about, yeah, it was. First of all, he says it was intentional, this and there was ridiculous. Malice.
It was unsettling.
And then he says it was unsettling. I don't know if it was intentional. I don't want to say that. So
it was intentional. He meant to throw it to the dugout.
So, yeah, Dodgers Padres is going up. I
got a question.
Yeah.
Real quick. Who's the best team in baseball? Right now.
I'm going to say the Padres.
It is the Padres.
I'm going to say the Padres. I'm wavering between the Padres and Mets.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say the Padres. I think the Padres are. The Dodgers, who I still think are going to win the World Series. I think they're going to win the World Series.
You think they're going to win the World Series?
I've thought that since the beginning of the season. I thought that at the end of this season, I thought they were going to win the World Series. Now that we're in the playoffs and I have to like see these teams and I see how the Mets are playing, see how the Padres are playing, I see how both teams pitch, I see how the Phillies pitch, I'm not as confident in that anymore because the Dodgers don't have the pitching to keep up with those guys. And like I said yesterday, what I've learned about postseason baseball is the hitting will be neutralized by the great pitching of these teams. And
are the playoffs more physical?
It might be a little more physical. But the pitching always wins.
The pitching always wins
because it's the hardest thing to do in a sport. So if you have the best people who are good at it, the best pitchers, well, hell, look at batting averages. The best pitchers beat the best hitters more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know if the Lakers. I don't know if the Dodgers.
That's my fault by making
well, that. So I thought I saw somebody fault. Said that in the chat. Oh, they just said, okay, LA show. But I don't know if the Dodgers can get past the Padres, Mets, or Phillies. And then the Yankees actually probably have like the least top flight pitching staff of those three.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows if they even get there? I mean, the Royals might get there, the Guardians, whatever the case may be. I just don't know if LA has the pitching to get through three rounds. And then there was another stat that I read yesterday about the Dodgers, and this is what happens all the time. Sorry, Will, we're going over it again. The Dodgers every year do all this stuff in the regular season, and they can't hit worth a damn come the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only been two games. And in game one, Ohtani hit a 3-run home run to tie it up. But
saw that.
In the first two games between Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman, they're 4 of 22. And that's including Ohtani's home run. So they could have been like 3 of 22 or something like that. Mookie Betts doesn't have a postseason hit in his last 22 at bats.
Yikes.
So this goes along the same.
So it's not the moment, it's pitching. You think pitching's better?
I think pitching is
in the postseason.
That's what I learned the three times. Will, make sure you listen to that. That's what I learned the three times I saw a championship team. The three times I went to a parade.
Are you suggesting our friend Will in the chat hasn't seen it?
Well, I mean, you know, it wasn't no, you know, AAU championship. It wasn't that, you know what I mean? It was a real deal. And the three times I saw it, pitching is the key. And yeah, I don't know if the Dodgers have the pitching. Mm. I think they're gonna win this series though. I said the Padres are the best team. I said at the beginning the Dodgers are gonna win the series. We're in the middle of it. I'm not gonna flip flop off of it. I think the Dodgers.
Pretty sure you already did like three times.
No, I think the Padres are the best team, but I'm sticking with the courage of my convictions. I think the Dodgers are going to win. Unfortunately,
you can change your mind.
Yeah, I guess you could. I think the series is going to go five though. But then the Padres are going to come with Yu Darvish in that game five, and Yu Darvish had them boys flummoxed. Did you see the whole deal on? Did you miss all of it? Like, did you see the Dodger fans throwing the ball back on?
So I saw that. Yeah, I saw that on social media. I missed virtually everything live over the weekend.
That was crazy.
I didn't even see the Aces and Liberty live.
Yeah.
Yes, but I caught that on social media.
That was crazy. That was great. Dodger fans throwing beer bottles at the bullpen guys and all this other stuff. They was doing a lot. So, Major League Baseball playoffs going up right now. I'm excited. Can I tell you something that we had a chuckle with about the Kings?
Sure.
So the Athletic did a. I think you'll
Oh, brother, does Casey have something for you?